Our sermon text for this 25th Sunday after Pentecost will be taken from Mark chapter 12. We're going to read verses 28 through 34. And if you're willing and able, please rise for the reading of a gospel text. And if you have sore legs, you can remain seated. We're going to continue reading this in Jesus' name. And one of the scribes came, having heard them reasoning together and perceiving that he answered them well, asked him, "Which is the first commandment of all?" And Jesus answered him, "The first commandment is, 'Hear, O Israel, the Lord God is one Lord, and thou shalt have no Lord thy God with all thy heart.'" You should love the Lord God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind, and with all thy strength. This is the first commandment. And the second is like, namely this, "Thou shalt love thy Lord as thyself. There is none other commandment greater than these." And the scribe said unto him, "Well, Master, thou hast said the truth, for there is one God, and there is none other but he. And to love him with all thy heart, and with all thy understanding, and all thy soul, and with all thy strength, and to love his neighbor as himself, is more than the whole burnt offerings and sacrifices." And when Jesus saw that he answered discreetly, he said unto him, "Thou art not far from the kingdom of God." And no man after that durst ask him any questions. Amen. Please be seated. Heavenly Father, this is your word that is before us. We ask by the strength of the power of your Holy Spirit that we would hear of your truth. Father, we pray that you would sanctify us in the truth, because we know your word is truth. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. I would also like to echo Mark's thoughts in thanking all those that have served us in this nation and continue to serve us. And it is a blessing to have the freedoms that we do have. And oftentimes I think that I am quite thankful that you have defended freedoms that we often throw away. I know that's sarcasm, isn't it? But do we realize how blessed we are as a nation and what we do have? And how oftentimes we forget that because we turn around and think we have first world problems. And there are a lot of people in this world that have real problems. We are blessed. There are those that have laid their life on the line. And I'm going to say this. I'm so sick of people not respecting the offices that we have within this nation. These people have laid their lives down on the line. I'm so sick of the radio, I don't turn it on anymore. Because they make fun of the president. I don't care if you like him or not. We're teaching our youth not to honor the position of president. And when I was in high school, that's what they taught. Honor the position of president, no matter what. We should do the same for Congress, whether they make fools of themselves or not. Honor what has been defended and what has been given. Okay, soapbox done. Let's look at our message. This is an awesome text. It's kind of very simple. It really is a simple text because it just brings out one thing. To give honor. To give respect. Though our ideas may be different from one another, that we would have this honor and respect for one another. But above and beyond that, that we would have honor and respect for God. See, this scribe, he comes to Jesus because he's fired up. He's happy. There was always this little bit of division that was going on between the Sadducees and the scribes. That one would claim to have more knowledge than the other. The Sadducees, they didn't believe in the resurrection. And so they turn around and they start disputing with Jesus previously to our text over marriage. Trying to come to the understanding of, well, you see, the Word of God tells us that if a man was to have a wife but had no children, then he died, the brother would take her as wife. And they give this great description where it goes all the way through to seven brothers having this wife. And they're trying to catch Jesus. They're trying to catch Jesus in a trap. It's so funny because it's so human of us. When we don't like something, we like to set it up and ask questions in a fashion that we feel like, well, we could actually catch somebody in a trap. And Jesus turned around and he said, "You don't know the scripture. There's your first clue. Do we know our Scripture? I think that's kind of an amazing statement. We turn around as believers, and we turn around as Christians entering into this world, and we may have this understanding where we bring this great authority to people, or try to tell people how to run things, or what to do. But do we know the Scripture? It's not like a threatening question, it's a reality. Do we read it? Are we involved in it? Do we actually get answers from it? He says, you don't know your Scriptures. Don't you understand that in heaven there is no giving in marriage? We are like the children of God. We're like the angels of heaven where we stand before God. It's not as you see it. Don't you understand those that your prophets of old have died and gone on? He says they are not dead. He says, don't you remember that He is the God of the living? He brings that out very boldly. So now the scribes are all fired up because those Sadducees, they got told. Put them in their position. Jesse in his own flesh sometimes likes that, doesn't he? Where when my rival is getting put in place or getting told, I have a little more confidence. The scribe comes up to him. After he hears this conversation, it says, the scribe came up hearing the disputing with one another and seeing that Jesus had answered well, met his approval. He says, what is the greatest commandment of all? What are they? What is the greatest commandment? And it's kind of interesting because we don't really debate with this. We'll often speak about what is important as a Christian. We'll even talk about in a lot of our messages what we should be doing or not doing as Christians. But really, what is the ultimate here? The scribe comes to him and asks, what is the ultimate commandment? What really is the signature one? Jesus turns around and he says, the most important is to hear. To hear, Israel. And he could speak that to us today. Do we listen? Do we actually stop and hear? In other words, he's asking this question. But does he want the answer? Is this just another challenge? So the first thing that Jesus brings out, he says, the most important is, hear, O Israel, the Lord God is one. There is no division. There are not these parts. There are not these mini-gods. It is not any of this stuff. We serve one God. And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and all your mind, and all your strength. How do we do that? We may take this pretty lightly. Actually, I would say, I can only pick on myself. I take this pretty lightly. It's a commitment. It's not what's in fashion. It's not what's in season. It's not how I feel today. It's not whether or not my sugar daddy had given me enough to make me appreciate him. He comes across very boldly saying to love God with all your heart, with all your being in reality, all your mind, and strength. It makes us want to rally, doesn't it? It does. It kind of makes us want to rally. Want to rally up and be that great soldier for God. And we're going to love Him now. We're going to do this in this aspect where we pour our whole heart into it. We pour our whole soul into it and our mind. And we're going to be strong, valiant soldiers marching towards that cross. We take on this defensive stance. Where I think really what Jesus is bringing out is that we would take out this surrendering stance. Where we would surrender. Now, it's not about what I can do or how I can perform this. but rather to come fully in the acknowledgement of who God is and His love for us. And that we would surrender. Not to take a battle stance to turn around and try to now make sure we're doing the right things, but rather ask God to give us the heart of understanding, the heart of love, the heart of compassion, to give us an emptiness in self and a fulfillment in Him. When you read a text like this, we find that we want to take and I think it's probably out of good reason to build up our strengths. But even as the baptizer said, He must increase that I could decrease. It's even as the scriptures talk about that we can empty the house, but yet if it's not filled with something else, then that evil spirit will come in reality back and come in sevenfold strength. That it's not Jesse now cleaning his house, getting it all set and ready for God to come in, but rather it's that God Himself would enter into our lives by the power of prayer, by the power of His Word, by the power of His Holy Spirit, and cleanse my house. Too many times we turn around and we want to make this a victorious statement where now I am strong in God. No, I am not. I am weak. Even as that man prays and he asks, I believe, but help my unbelief. I had a septic tank at my house. Smooth transition, hey? I had a septic tank at my house. House, we've been in our house 14 years before we bought it. A few years before, they put a new septic tank in. Thought they were doing me a great favor, right? Put in a new tank, put in a leach field. Did all this work. Many thousands and thousands of dollars of work. We're living in the house for a little while, and Jesse gets this brain idea. I need to get my tank pumped. Been here for 5 years, haven't had the tank pumped yet. So I turn around and I call this company up and I tell them, you gotta come pump my tank. It was a newer company. They came and they pumped the tank. Pretty good, eh? Judy and I are at Camp Lefty. Come home a few weeks later and there's a hole in my yard. And I'm like, what the world? What's this hole in my yard? What's going on here? There's an earthquake. There's a mine shaft. I knew those guys were right. Mine shafts under us. Start digging into it. I have a new plastic tank. And when it was pumped, water was not put back in. And so, when you deal with a plastic tank, not a concrete tank, you must fill that tank up and replace what you take out, or the pressure actually will start crushing the tank. So this has a purpose. We can't just clean our tank and leave it empty and say, give me strength. We must in reality ask God to fill us, that the old can come out. We need to be conformed to the image of His Son by the power of His Holy Spirit. He says that we are to turn and love God with all our heart, with all our soul, with all our mind, and with all our strength. And that strength is an imputed righteousness given to us, Jesus Christ and Him alone. We cannot do this on our own. Otherwise, we will have caving tanks. Probably not the best description, hey? But if we try to do it on our own, they're all full of the same thing. Then Jesus turns around after telling us to be encouraged and to be filled. Actually, I think He answers how we can do the second part. He said the second is this, that you love your neighbor as yourself. Can you imagine actually really performing this? How would our day look? I'm not saying that God doesn't give us the insight and the wisdom to be able to do this at times, but we do battle this flesh, whether we like it or not. We battle it. To actually get up in the morning. Get up in the morning and wonder, I wonder if my neighbor has coffee. Oh, I bet they could use a cup of coffee. Because that's the first thing I think of. In fact, some nights I go to bed and I can't wait to get up and have coffee. Because I enjoy sitting in my sitting room. I enjoy watching the sunrise. I enjoy my coffee. That's my winter thing. But I wonder how often would it be that I get up and say, I wonder if my brother over there, I wonder if he has coffee. To love your neighbor as yourself. To expect good for them. To expect encouragement for them. And then we could turn around and we could say, well, who's our neighbor? Because that is human of us. Steve's my neighbor. I like him. Of course, he lives way up there in Boston location, but still, I like him. Do we have to go down to the road of the Good Samaritan? Do we have to go through the whole parable for us to understand who our neighbor is? That we are to love those that are around us. We are to love those that are downtrodden. We are to love those that everybody else walks by. That everybody in reality around us is a neighbor. To think highly of the individual next door. Wherever you and I are, if we're together, we're neighbors. He says to love your neighbor as yourself. To put somebody else. I would even say beyond that. Jesus brings this to more clarifying. Now I want you to think about that. Jesus brings this to a more exacting manner when he speaks very strongly. He says, I want you to love one another as what? I have loved you. Without selfishness. Surrendering. See, when we come to the understanding of we can surrender to God and ask God to fill our tank, that we would not be empty and cave in, that we would not turn inward, that we can have this strength, can we not also ask Him to give us this ability to love others? That we would be motivated by this same love, to love them as Christ has loved us, to give beyond, to in reality give above in what we are. It's a foreign love. He says, you shall love one another as yourself or your neighbor. He says, there is no greater commandment than these two. All of the law is fulfilled in this. And we could teach this even from a confirmation class. We could teach this about the Ten Commandments. How in reality the first three deal with love to God and the rest deal with love to neighbor. We understand that. But then the scribe, who's pretty proud of himself, acknowledging that, okay, because he's a law scholar, he would understand the law. There's no doubt about it. The scribe turns and says, you're right. You know what, Jesus? You're right. You have truly said that there is one and no other besides Him. You're right. He says, and to love Him with all your heart and with all your understanding and with all your strength, and to love one neighbor himself is much more than any sacrifice that we could perform. Any tithe that we could give. He says, it's much more than any of the burnt offerings that we could do before you. Can you imagine that? Jesus turns and he says, you answered wisely. He says, you've answered wisely. You've said the right thing. You're making the right motions. It's kind of like when we go to church, we say, God's peace. Well, you did the right thing. Now you're in. Gone through the right things. And then he turns and he makes this statement. And I think this is kind of one of the coolest statements. He says very plainly, you know what, dude? You're not far off. You're not far off from the kingdom of God. What does that mean? So the guy asks Jesus a question. Jesus turns around and he answers the question. The guy comes back and affirms to Jesus, yes, you answered correctly. Like Jesus needed his authority, his approval. And Jesus says very plainly, you've answered well too. If we're here to compliment each other all day long, then you know what, buddy? Thanks for telling me I did good. You did good too. You're not far off. But he must be a little, because he's not far. Knowledge is beautiful. Knowledge is great. In fact, I've been told very plainly by some individuals, I have nothing but head knowledge. They don't know me well. But can we live what we know? It's wonderful to know these things. It's wonderful to talk about these things. It's wonderful. But do we put them to action? Mark read you an Old Testament reading about the widow in Elijah. And she basically was finishing up her last meal, and she was going to die. Elijah wanted something to eat, so he asked her to give something to eat. And she's like, well, I actually don't have any bakery made. I have no nisu, I have no nothing. But I have a handful of meal left, and I was going to go and make this one last cake, and then basically we're done. But yet she acted on his words in faith. She did what she was asked to do. She just didn't have a knowledge of what he wanted. She actually moved forward in faith on what he requested. And she received. See, we could stand around and we could talk about what is the greatest commandment. Well, it's to love God. Well, the question is, how do we love God? With all our heart, with all our soul, with all our mind, with all our strength. How is that accomplished? And how is that visually seen? By surrendering our rights for another. Jesus says, I want you to love one another as I have loved you. If we are believers in Jesus Christ, and I pray that we all are, and if you're on the fence, well, then let's deal with it a little more after. But let's pretend for a moment that we're all believers in Jesus Christ. We believe that He has ransomed Himself for my sin debt, and that by His great work, I am free from the bondage of sin, and that I have an imputed righteousness that allows me to stand before God the Father. If we believe this, can we not also act in it? Do we not understand that Christ came to this earth? He was anointed, in other words, blessed into a purpose to be the ransom for you and I and for the whole world. That He took upon Himself the servant's garb, and that He entered into this world suffering humility, beatings, everything else for our benefit. And then He turns and He speaks to us in this fashion, that I want you to love as I have loved you. Giving Himself. This is not for the abuse. This is not speaking about abuse of monetary values and things like that. Sometimes we have a tendency to be so tied to our monetary, you're saying, you may think, oh pastor, well you're telling me that if someone comes and asks me for something, you have to give it to them. First and foremost, I don't think you're going to go without because of it. But this is talking about serving. Loving. Praying. Encouraging. Being there for the individuals as Christ was for us. Being willing to take upon yourself the burden. And also to celebrate in the joys. To encourage. Does not Paul say that our body is one and that one hurts, we all hurt? Isn't it also true that if one celebrates, we all celebrate? To take this upon ourselves, we cannot do in our flesh. But to surrender to God, allow Him to do the work, to fill our tank, that we in reality may be the ambassadors of Christ and enter into this world to encourage. He says, you know what, buddy? You're close because you're talking about it. But previously to this, they were upset at Him for healing on the Sabbath day. Previously to this, they're upset at Him for His disciples not washing their hands. Previously to this, there's so many issues that they have about serving the woman that had the issue of blood. The one that could not see. Where was their love for their neighbor? It's not enough just to have a knowledge. But actually to empty oneself. To surrender to the will of God. And ask Him to lead us in our life. We live, unfortunately, and I'm no different than anyone else, in a society that is full of me. What I want. If you were to turn around and listen to conversations, And I'm not thinking I'm above anybody else. I'm just as bad. Listen to conversations and hear how many times we say, I. This is what I want. This is what I do. This is how I see it. This is where I go. This is what I'll do. All these things are about what I want. But Jesus the Christ, He came to this earth and He showed the greatest example that anyone could ever see of these commandments. He loved His Father with all His mind, with all His soul, with all His strength. And He showed through the cross scene where He loved you and I. Brothers and sisters in Christ, I'm not asking you to be poor paupers. I'm not asking you to give away your wealth. I'm not asking for any of that stuff. I'm asking that God would work in our lives to give us the example of His love that I could also show it to another. That we could be encouragers. That we could shut the stupid TV off for 10 minutes, sick of watching that stupid rhetoric, and actually focus on what's good for our neighbor. How can I show the love of God today? Today we're going to see, as we come to communion, the greatest example aside from Jesus suffering on the cross on our behalf, but of giving Himself for us. And I pray that we can come here today and celebrate that, not as a trinket, not as a symbol, but that through the power of God's Word and the power of His Holy Spirit, that He may be present here even today. That we would partake of Christ. And that we would find the strength, because it even says in our altar book, though we don't like to talk about it, this is given for your strengthening of faith. That we would find the strength and the faith to enter into this world to show others what we have received. Love, unconditional. Wow. Those veterans, they may not understand it all in their mind at the moment that they're doing it, but they show it. We had an opportunity to spend time in Tennessee, and we had an opportunity to listen to my brother-in-law. First time, 28 years of marriage, I ever heard my brother-in-law talk about his time in the front lines of Vietnam. These people gave everything. May we never disrespect the offices that they defended. May we look beyond ourselves and ask God, what is the best for our neighbor? Come and celebrate the victory of life, Jesus Christ. Amen. Today is